May 25, 2022. It's SWAT for Pedro show.
And then Monk comes back in to save everybody. And nobody knows where he is. That's the impression a lot of people got anyway. You know, they said, man, how do you guys remember all that stuff? You know, we weren't really remembering much. Just the basic changes, and everybody else just tried anything they wanted to try on it. So. And Monk, he's always doing something back there that sounds so mysterious. And it's not mysterious at all, you know, when you know what he's doing. Just like those little things, just like simple truth, you know, like he might take a chord, a major chord, a minor chord, and leave the third out. But yet he says, this is a minor chord, man, you know. So you don't have a minor third in there, so you don't know what it is. You say, well, how do you know it's a minor chord? Well, that's what it is, a minor chord with the third out. Well, he feels that way, so there you go. And when he plays the thing, man, it will just be in the right place and voice the right way to have that minor feel. But still, it's not a minor because it's no third, it's not there. Little things like that, you know.
People bring me casseroles and pray for his immortal soul. They think I'm in widow's weeds, but pity's the last thing I need. I dress in black and wear a veil to hide bright eyes and skin so pale, and make sure that nobody sees the marks of love my lover leaves. Since the day they told me he was haunting faithful in the dark till dawn, hear him whisper sweetly in my ear, can't you see we got a good thing here, feel his fingertips caress my hair, turn around and there's nothing there, phantom arms around me sleeping near, can't you see we got a good thing here, can't you see we got a good thing here.
When some people pass away, they don't reach the heaven that they pray. Bitter about the fallacy their afterlife turned out to be. They bitch and moan and hide your keys or talk to psychics on TV. They just groan and shake their chains when I say my baby's on the physical plane. When I died upon that cold, cold night, made a promise to leave her sight. Now she knows that there's nothing to fear. Can't you see we got a good thing here? Run my fingers through her hair. She turns around and there's nothing there. Wrap my arms around her sleeping ear. Can't you see we got a good thing here? Can't you see we got a good thing?
Husband crawling in the grave, the worms crawling out. My lover's disembodied soul makes me so happy now. When they drew their pistols and they fired each one shot, how could I have imagined this sweet bliss would be my lot?
I used to be an angry man, I wanted things that weren't mine. At 15 paces in the sand, I left that all behind. Now my spirits rise when she turns out her bedroom light. I gently haunt my lover in the cold and tender night.
They try to comfort me with platitudes. They don't know I'm in a real fine mood. There's no reason I should shed one tear. Can't you see we got a good thing here?
Don't talk to me or get to us.
Happy Wednesday, people. Started the show off with John Coltrane talking to August Bloom about playing with Thelonious Monk in 1958. And then we had Ghost Story from Charming Disaster, which is no accident because I'm very fortunate to have as guests all the way from Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, because there's one in Holland too, right?
That's right.
Charming Disaster. Elliot and Jeff, welcome aboard.
Hey there.
Hi there.
Okay.
Thanks for having us on the show.
And we got to thank Howard for the connect.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Howard's the best.
Thank you. Yeah, good guy. Who wants to go first? Because I'm going to explore your musical journeys.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay, Jeff.
I'm ready to go.
Jeff, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
The earliest musical recollection I had is my mom playing guitar. She played guitar, and it was something that was always around the house. She sang and played, and that was probably it for my first musical exposure. She played a lot of records. She played a lot of Scott Joplin. I remember dancing around to Scott Joplin as a toddler.
So I'm going to assume, since she was playing a guitar, maybe the only, but there was at least one musical instrument in the pad you grew up.
That's right. There was a guitar, her guitar, and then at my grandmother's house there was a piano, and I liked to play that a lot.
Did you go through the lessons thing?
No, I didn't go through piano lessons, but later on I took guitar lessons.
Okay.
And that was cool.
When did you start with the guitar lessons?
I think I started around 13 or 14.
Okay.
Yeah, 13 years old, I think.
Let's stay before that. Okay. What about, like, school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, I wasn't in any of those things.
Okay.
I wasn't.
What was the first record you bought with your own money, please?
First record that I bought was, what's it called? Darn, what's the name of that band? Mr. Blue Sky was the album. ELO, that was the band.
Okay.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Right, Jeff Lynn. And then what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was later as a teenager, like the big stadium show was Neil Young.
Okay. And yeah, when you started those guitar lessons at 13, was
yeah,
it electric guitar or acoustic guitar? Because your mom played acoustic, right?
That's right. I got an acoustic guitar for that Christmas, and I played that for a long time.
So the teacher, right?
Yeah.
Took lessons. What was that like?
You know, he was a guy that came up from New York City. He was pretty uninterested with me as a person. I think looking back on it, I think he had a drug problem, but he was, you know, sometimes he was hot, sometimes he was cold, sometimes really nice, sometimes he was really irritable. But, you know, he influenced me a lot, and he kind of wanted me to go to music school eventually, and I wound up going to Berklee College of Music for a year.
Can I ask you what kind of acoustic? Was it steel string or nylon?
It was a steel string. It was a Guild steel string.
So, because I'm trying to think of what kind of stuff he taught you.
I was really into finger-picking guitar, you know, strumming. Like, you know, I learned a lot of, like, folk songs and stuff, and then I got into finger-picking, and then later on I got more interested in classical guitar.
So you got to tell him what you wanted. He didn't, like, have this kind of, what's it called, syllabus?
He did more on the music theory side. He had, you know, it was like split half and half. So there would be like some songs that I would learn that I was interested in learning. And then there would be the serious music theory stuff, which I had a difficult time picking up. But
did he teach you to read?
He tried. He tried. I had the Mel Bay Guitar Method
book.
Okay,
books. Yeah, yeah, that's it. There was another one too, Alfred or something.
Yeah, the Alfred Method.
Yeah. I remember that. And but then there's the other method, like you bring in records. Here, teach me this tune, right?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was it. But I was a pretty terrible reader.
Okay, what about after school, not graduating, but in afternoon? Did you do the garage band, bedroom band, basement band thing with some friends?
I grew up in an apartment building, so there was no garage or basement. available.
No, but maybe somebody else's. Like, usually the drummer man, right?
Usually the drummer. I think that was a little bit later. Yeah, I started, when I got an electric guitar, I started playing in some, with some friends around, you know, in the garage and stuff.
Okay, but this is after the Berklee School of Music thing?
No, before. Okay. Before that, yeah.
So you're still in school, high school and shit?
Still in high school, yeah. That's right.
And so when you got, what was your first electric guitar?
It was a Squire Strat, okay. Fender Squire Strat, the cheap
And
model.
Did you start the band or did you join somebody's band?
At that time, I joined somebody's band.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a formal band. It was just a couple kids like getting together and playing.
And jamming, right?
Yeah.
Did you write any material yet?
Not at that point, no.
And that band never did a gig?
No.
Okay.
No, it was pretty informal.
What was the first band you did do a gig with?
First band was, I did a gig with, when I went to Boston to go to music school for a year, and then I quit, and I started playing guitar with this guy who was, he lived on the street, he was a homeless guy, and he was a very big character, he was a big influence on my life, he taught me a lot about the world, and his name was Mr. Butch.
I gotta say.
Yeah?
No, I love it, because like, you're a big teacher, you went through this like, it's got a lot of hype or whatever as far as
yeah.
reputation, music school, but you actually learned from the homeless guy.
That's right.
Shows to go you, right?
Shows to go you.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from him. It was really good.
And you guys did a gig. Your first
gig. Yeah, we did a bunch of gigs.
Okay.
Yeah. We opened for Steve Albini once. That was our big gig.
Okay. Tell me about the first one. Did you guys have a name for the ensemble?
The first band, like the Jamming Kids?
No. Mr. Butch.
Oh, the Mr. Butch Experience.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And what was that first gig like for you?
We played at the Ratskeller in...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Minuteman
and Moore Square.
There. Yeah.
And there was a lot of people really waiting to see Steve Albini play, and they were heckling us the whole time. But Butch, you know, he's like dreadlock, 6'4" guy who was... really charming, and he was a real free spirit, so he entertained the crowd pretty well. He also played guitar, and people were kind of mesmerized by him, and we had this guy from the Hare Krishnas playing drums, my roommate was playing bass, and I was playing guitar. It was a weird scene, I think, for people, you know, going to see Big Black.
How'd you get the gig?
I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea. Butch knew a lot of
thing,
people.
The important yeah. thing is that it happened. Remember that doorman with the voice?
Oh, yeah, that guy with the voice.
And
yeah.
Then, also, the other thing I remember about Rat was they had, like, theater lights, and they were, like, 2 feet off your head, so especially
know,
the drummer man would get
cooked.
Yeah, they were, the lights were way too powerful for us close. So they remember them, they had these plastic ovens for ladies that had, or girls, with a light bulb in them. That's how they cooked the shit, and that's what the way the lights
right. were. Yeah, the Easy Bake Oven.
Right, that's it. Right. That's right. Susie Homemade.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, man. But would you consider, it sounds like the gig started off kind of scary, but then you prevailed,
yeah.
and it was a success, huh?
Yeah, it was a success. People loved it, and I remember standing off to the side, then Big Black went on, and Steve Albini's doing his thing, and he's, you know, he's got these little glasses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was wearing these little glasses, and he's shaking his head back and, you know, he's like slamming his head back and forth, and his glasses, like, flipped up off of his head, and, you know, he's just, at the time, his personality was big and scary, he's like screaming and stuff into the mic, and then he, like, turns around, he's like, excuse me, have you seen my glasses? He was so polite, and he seemed so innocent without his glasses on, so
yeah.
exposed, as we all are,
straight
without
edge,
our glasses on.
Straight edge guy, but his vice is gambling, poker.
He's
really good at
yeah.
poker.
Well,
yeah, because I got to spend a week with 2007 recording the Stooges Weirdness yeah. record there in Chicago at the Electrical,
yeah.
Audio Electrical or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Nice man.
Yeah, very nice guy.
Okay, and how long does the Mr. Butch Experience last?
It lasts about you know, 6 months, and then I moved back to New York, and
Did you guys ever get to record?
No, we never recorded.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And who was the main songwriter, him?
Him, yeah. It was all about him.
Yeah, well, hence the name.
Hence the name.
You know, I'm thinking of Jimi Hendrix, right? But I tell you, one time he said, Mitch Mitchell, that's my Elvin Jones. So, sometimes it's all right to be in another man's band, especially, the politics and bass. I want to play this from Charm and Disaster, the other side of the ghost story. This is Spooky Action.
Foxes in our foxholes on a tin can phone. Shine a flashlight on the mirror, send a signal in Morse code.
If you step up on a needle, it goes straight to my heart. Spooky action at a distance, we're together and apart.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking at the same exact time? If you're out there somewhere listening, will you sing?
Thank you. Every week I go to church in my rooftop, and I love her. Every week I go to church in my Sunday best, and I love her.
watch a video. Exoskeletal musculature. Sweating, moving, straining, eyes of these potential comrades, I see no pleasure, no pain, no ecstasy, only fear and the hatred it gives rise to. Thank you.
to take what's mine. I will eat your soul. Fit this mountain in your spoon. Feel the hot embrace. All the fairy tales are true. It'll turn your bones to the finest lace. Bad luck, hard rock. No matter how you slice it or break it apart. Live once, die twice. Find a little magic, but it won't play nice.
Take your shovel and your pick. No need to ask why.
Pedro Show, that chunky music started off with Charming Disaster doing Spooky Action. And then Victoria Shen, she's got a new, she invented a new instrument. She's calling it bass collar or body bass. Somehow it's like strings that attached to her body. And
cool.
So she's like, you know what I'm saying? Like the way a string on a bass, maybe, you know, you got the nut and the tuning key on one end and the bridge on the other. Well, she's like those parts. So it's we have the strings in common, but yeah, I ain't got it. You know, the collar around my neck and shit. So that's the first thing she recorded with a couple of days ago. She's coming to Pedro for a tour. Rubber Old Cement, yeah, at the beginning of June. Rubber Old Cement after that with autoimmune disease caused by cheap gravity. Bob Pollard's got a new record, of course, right? It's every other month. So this is Current Desperation, Angels Speak to Nothing. And SLW, Sam Locke Ward, and Bob Bucko Jr. with Church Going Choir Girl. Few, this is something live from her from a few days ago in Tokyo. And I don't know the name of the tune, but the venue was Wall and Wall, kind of in Oyama, a little fancy part of Tokyo. It was trippy, you know, but That's just how it goes. XV with Dixie Cup. Onita's got a new tune here. I Want to Hold Your Electric Hand. Noisuka, brand new Revenge Bodies. High Quick Crack. Two Monk to Drive out of Austin. Viveo, La Mer. Viveo, actually, original keyboard player, Blue Cheer, people don't know. And that second keyboard player was actually with a cat from Sacktown called Ralph Kellogg, and we knew him as Ethan James. He recorded Double Nickels on the Dime, produced it, mixed it one night, 48 tunes. They are little ones. And Savage Republic with their big return, Meteora. And finally, Bad Luck, Hard Rock, Charm and Disaster. Okay, Elia, your turn. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
I think my earliest musical recollection was climbing on the jungle gym in, like, I don't know, like nursery school, singing Good Day Sunshine to myself, like playing all by myself on this orange and yellow jungle gym. I couldn't have been more than like 3 or 4 years old. My parents played a lot of music around the house. They weren't musicians, aren't musicians, but like they had a lot of music around, from the Beatles to show tunes to folk and R&B, like a pretty eclectic.
They did play. They played the record player and they played the radio.
Yeah, they sure did.
No, but it's bitching because, you know, I think one of the problems is this idea of genre, some shortcut at marketing, because it. Music is music, so you get in a wide thing like that early on. It's sort of like them feeding you vegetables so you don't hate them.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, looking back now, like, if you wanted to, like, create a songwriting monster, like, definitely the diet that I got was a good diet to get.
Right.
Especially the show tunes, actually.
Yeah.
I'd go to sleep listening to, like, the Fantastics and Cats and, like not, like, and stuff that was good and stuff that wasn't good, but like so much storytelling music.
That's what I was going to say. That kind of trip, the musical, is about telling stories.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, reading from the page. It's like they're dancing and they're singing, and it's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. So what about at school with you? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
A little bit. So, like, when I was, like, first and second grade, I had this music teacher who ended up giving me piano lessons into, like, I don't know, third or fourth grade. And so I took piano lessons at home. My parents, I think they rented a piano for a while, and then we moved to the suburbs and they bought a piano, which they still have at their house.
Now, how was the experience? Because I've had horror stories from guests on the show almost wanting to quit music because of the piano teacher experience.
I really liked Maddie Goldfarb. That was my teacher. She didn't give me a lot of theory. It was just like playing, and I wasn't that disciplined. Like, I wasn't that serious about it, but I was really musical, and like I could still like sing some of those like early songs that I had to play as an early student.
What was
like
the first record you bought with your own money, Elia?
The Reality Bites soundtrack. I'm almost sure of it.
And then first gig you saw.
Oh, get this. It was Bob Dylan at West Point with Lenny Kravitz opening. My parents took me and my little brother. It was insane. It was much too loud for me. I was pretty young. And so I didn't actually listen to a whole lot of it. But I do remember the Gates of Eden being pretty good.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but, like, what a weird gig.
Well, yeah. If you look at lineups for gigs in the 60s, you wouldn't believe how different kinds of bands were put together.
Yeah, I mean, it was also just it being at West Point of all places.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, that's wild.
But you know, the interstate, I just did 48 gig and 48 day tour, and that's actually a military road.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what's it in the Bible, some sword into plowshare kind of thing?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know
you're back on Marius. Or some shit.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I know somebody who teaches music at West Point now, and like it's like the favorite thing of all the cadets is to get to play music in the marching band there. So, you know, they need it too, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Sly Stone said, "It's not where you're from; it's where you're at." So
that's right.
I'm always trying to think about that kind of thing like that. So. Now, were you woman alone on the piano, or did you, after school, do a basement band, bedroom band, garage band?
Well, that was the thing. It was like I always wrote songs, and I'd even write some on the piano, but piano was not like a fluent instrument for me, even though it was my first one. Like, I couldn't like easily just make it do stuff, and it wasn't portable, obviously, and I didn't have a keyboard, and so piano was a solo thing for me. But later on, I started playing in bands, but I was kind of a late bloomer as a musician. I was always more of a writer, and I kind of got my performance chops doing, like, slam poetry in the early, like, in the mid-90s. And so I would just, like, say things.
You know what the trip is, though? You're right about the portability, but rock and roll actually began on the piano, not the guitar.
Yeah, I believe it. I've read some of the stuff you've written, actually, or said in interviews about, like, the left hand of the piano.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, being the bass in rock and roll. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
And, a lot of, and even the guitar thing, like Nick Tosh's, a New York City writer, we lost him a couple of years ago, but he wrote a book on the twisted roots of rock and roll and country. And it actually goes back to banjo and minstrel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a trip. A lot of, you know, this happens with revisionism. People got some kind of thing they're trying to hustle you on, and so they put all this jive around it instead of just, you know, trying to get at what was wrong. Because that's kind of the trip of it is. Yeah, it comes from, did you ever see the jazz singer?
Mm-mm.
Al Jolson?
Al Jolson, yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's a canter, son of a canter who wants to be a jazz singer. And in those days, it was blackface, right? Minstrel.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the roots of rock and roll and country, and Jewish songwriters and things. And
yeah.
It's strange. I recommend that book very much. But so slam poetry. So
yeah.
This is just voice, right? Or was there a band involved?
No, it's just voice and like your body a little bit too. I mean, it's kind of like a stylized way of delivering the content. But selling it, right?
They said vaudeville, selling it.
Yeah. So that was kind of how I like got my Jones for performing, really. Like, I remember, like, there's, like, a cafeteria performance, and I did, like, my first time on stage, and I remember doing a poem, and everybody in the room just shut up, and I was like, this is the thing. This is for me.
Was that a pants shitter?
No, I mean, I felt pretty good about it.
I still get scared to get in front of people. No, some people are like that, you know, like maybe it's like swimming and stuff.
They
throw babies into the water. Some of them can just go for it. Other ones, you got to go in and after them and fish them out. Right? Look, we're at the end of the first hour. May 25, 2022 edition of Wat Pedro Show. Special guest, Charming Disaster. Hold tight for hour two. May 25, 2022, it's the second hour of Wat for Pedro Show.
Wind blows cold over the willow. Sky is bruised and shadowed. Slung high over the river, every step shakes and shivers. Water laughs out in whispers. She'll take it. Thank you.
little sparrow. I'm fat, 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 oral fixation. Distract, 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 plunge on, and before you know it, you're gone, you're banned from the playground. You're not welcome at the feast anymore. Amen. Share your truth. Speak your mind. I am hungry all the time. Out of frustration, it's lack, lack, lack. What am I wanting for? What am I wanting for? Nothing. It's a comfortable demographic. Amen, speak your truth. Share your mind. I am hungry all the time. Thank you. I must be moving on, now the shadows grow long. I never was the superstitious kind.
What is this waking me down in the deep? Voice like a silver coin rings in my sleep. Don't be so hasty, no, don't turn your back. I could deliver you all that you ask.
We've done all we can do all by ourselves. Everybody needs a little help. Stuck in places. Along, a little push will keep us going.
What sweet melody echoes soft and low? No one here but me, yet I am not alone. Did I wake up in a dream? That's no reflection I see. Swimming in the waters down below.
Show start off the second hour, Charm and Disaster, What Remains. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Hunger after that. Vex Party with Book Talk. Where was that? There's a little town, New Hope. And across the river is Bob Lee's from there. Lambertsville. Yeah. No, but no, it was Northampton. I had my memory the same a month ago, and I've already listened. Alzheimer claims another victim. And Horde of Two after that, Time on End live. Dog Plus, I think they're out of Connecticut, with or Mass, some New England. Her Tree, Casper Broad for String and Tins, Chatterton, Mini Beast. This, I know what this is. This is Peter Prescott from Mission of Burma days. Now he plays guitar, and he's living in Providence, Rhode Island. And finally, Wishing Well by Charm and Disaster. Porno for Pirates has a song called Wishing Well. You know, you can't copyright a song title. That's good.
I know, and it's great because sometimes people find you by accident.
That's right.
Right. Tripod Jimmy had this version of Autumn Leaves that was not like the Autumn Leaves Frank Sinatra sang. I think the chorus was like, you got to do what you got to do. Waking up 4 a.m. in the morning and shit like, okay, let's talk about Charm and Disaster. How did this happen? I mean, you got these words that are kind of opposed. And it's a duet band, right?
Yeah, it's all duets. So Charm and Disaster started in 2012. At the time, I had a band of my own called Sweet Soubrette, for which I was the band leader, songwriter, front person. And this was like an 8-piece band because I was a fool who loved a lush arrangement. And it's really hard to schedule 8 people for a band.
Fit them in the boat.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, touring meant, like, a mini version of the band, for sure.
Oh, okay.
But also, it was, like, it's just a nightmare to, like, get everybody in the same room at the same time.
What did they say? Like, herding cats.
Oh, my God. I would be moved to tears sometimes just trying to, like, get a rehearsal together.
Yeah. What is it? A big boat with a small rudder?
Oh, my God.
Or no keel.
Yeah, no keel.
You know, flat bottom when you're in the ocean? Oh, my God.
I went to see, I caught a show at my local bar one night in Brooklyn. It's a bar called Bar Bez, which is famous for having great music in the tiny back room. And there was a band I didn't know, and I really, really dug what their music sounded like.
That was my band, Codorino, which also had a lot of people in that band. I had horn players, string players, backup singers, drummer, bass.
And you were in that little back room?
Yeah.
In the little back room.
Okay. So we need more room besides the boat. We also need more room in the back little room.
Yeah, that's right. We would all jam on the stage there. And, and I was the head of that band and writing the charts for the horn players and the string players and writing all the songs and singing, I always thought there was going to be someone else going to be take over the singing part, but nobody else did. So that was my job too. And that's where I met Elliot.
Yeah. Well, I like started up a conversation after the show. Cause like, you see somebody whose work, you kind of feel is simpatico. And so you want to like, maybe like do a show with them or, whatever. I mean, and I also remember like there were a couple specific lines in your songs that I just like really liked. Like I'm pretty.
My songs? No, you're talking about Jeff's songs.
I'm talking to Jeff. Like this gig. I remember there's a line in one song, 7 days in a week, 12 months in a year, like beads on a string that are weighing us down. And I was like, it just felt like he was speaking my language.
George Hurley wrote some great songs for the Minutemen. I remember he had this one tune called, he never titled them, but it had a line, two beads at the end, and I couldn't get that out of my head. And of course, I was thinking of butt beads and shit. So I could see how lyrics strike you, you know. And I remember meeting Rocky Erickson. I love his music. Mm-hmm. First time, he was walking right off the stage, and I shook his head. He said, hey, it's good to see you again. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
So you guys have a rap about the lyrics.
We did the talking.
Yeah, and, Elliot, she kind of described what her band was like after I got up stage, and I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. You know, we should share a gig, or, like, it was cool to find someone else who was doing something similar to me. And I'm like, we should play together, and you said...
Well, I'd had, like, one beer, and I'm kind of a lightweight, and so I was feeling expansive, and I was like, what we should do is try to write songs together.
Yes.
Whoa! This is at the first meeting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
But, like, this was not a thing I had ever suggested to anybody else before.
And I'd never written a song with anybody else before either.
But, like, where I was like, listen, with a two-person project, we could rehearse as much as we wanted.
And that was very attractive at that moment.
It was a dam burster, cloud burster.
That's right.
Okay, well, look, I want to play Devil May Care, and we'll get back to this story.
Okay.
The devil's a star, and he's got a new band. He plays in the deep blue sea. He's got my number and he's calling me. There's nothing to say, so we talk of old times when he had his wings and I had mine. Take it from me, 'cause I ought to know, you got a right to get in trouble. Freedom to rise and freedom to fall. You got a right to get in trouble. The devil you love is the devil you knew. The devil you know is an empty suit. Nobody to tempt and nobody to save. Just predestination and DNA. The devil can't help. Though the devil may care, the devil makes three when we're standing here. The devil can deal any hand you choose. Damned if you don't, damned if you do. Take it from me, 'cause I ought to know. You got a right to get in trouble. Freedom to rise and freedom to fall. You got a right to get in trouble. From me, 'cause I ought to know, you got a right to get in trouble. Freedom to rise and freedom to fall. You got a right to get in trouble. Take it from me, 'cause I ought to know, you got a right to get in trouble. Freedom to rise and freedom to fall. You got a right to get in trouble.
Black snake and my donkey keep the predators at bay. The coyote and the copperhead stay well enough away. The power that protects me is a circle made of salt. But when you come to get me, I won't feel a thing at all. The vultures that surround me ride the thermals up on high. Yeah, ever since you found me, I'm afraid that I might die.
The scarab on my pillow whispers vespers as I sleep. You saved me from the sparrows, now my soul is yours to keep. Come morning we awaken to a garnet colored sky. The mirror cracked and broken, making X's of my eyes. Can't turn away the darkness, so instead I hold you tight.
Yeah, ever since you found me, I'm afraid that I might die. Light your fire, sing a song. Hit the hi-hat, kick the drum. Secret language on the tongue. Something
shines just for me. There's a night without a moon. It comes just for you, my love. Comes just for you.
They well enough away. The power that protects me is a circle made of shells. But when you come to get me, I won't feel a thing at all. The scarab on my pillow whispers whispers as I sleep. Save me from the sparrows. Now my soul is yours to keep. Come morning, we awaken to a garnet colored sky. The mirror cracked and broken, making X's of my eyes.
Chunk of music started off with Charm and Disaster doing Devil May Care. Then we had Equations Collective with the Helicon Sessions. Fuck, I don't know how to say it. Sorry. Cut 3.4, Bridge of Flowers, Poetry in Motion. Epaule Tattoo. Epaule. Shit. I like the music though. And Fenza No Lit. Whatever the fuck that means. Fans of No Lit. Maybe it's a acronym kind of thing. And then Puppet Midnight with Puppets Run the Circus, but the Ringmaster Knows the Score. And this is the Hair Twin remix. Yeah, bass man. Love bass composers. I got a little prejudice that way, sorry. Ray sure. Shin after that, Lightheaded. And finally, Charming Disaster. With Black Snake. Well, I'll tell you, the guys that collaborate with, a lot of them hate it, you know, wait, the songs are the fucking kick drum or cymbals, you know. But dudes like Nels Klein, they love it because it don't have a lot of harmonic information, you know, but you do got the rhythms and the starts and the stops. And anyway, let's get back to the Charm and Disaster. Tell me about the first time you guys, you know, made good on this Cloudburster moment.
Well, it wasn't that long after that. Jeff came to see my band, and, like, I think that clicked for you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, I see what you're talking about.
And so we had our first band meeting the next day. We got together, and we made a list of song ideas because we didn't really need another project to, like, express ourselves. Like, we each had our own project for that. So we wanted to, like, make some parameters that were really specific for this one.
Yeah, and since we didn't really know each other, it was going to be easier for us to kind of inhabit characters in our songwriting rather than, you know, writing about our feelings or whatever personal thing.
Also, there's that old, I don't know if this is appropriate, but, you know, familiarity breeds contempt.
Sure.
Well, now we've had 10 years to breed contempt.
See, I said might not apply. I'm not forcing any of that shit on you guys. So, okay. So what you do is you make a list of songs that you want to do.
Yeah.
Or topics, items you want to deal with concerning songwriting.
Yeah, and what we wanted to do was use two voices, like, both musically and in terms of storytelling.
Well,
and,
I'm curious about the first one. What was the first one? Is it any of the ones I'm playing?
Yeah.
It's the first one you played.
Yeah,
it was
the first one you played, Ghost Story.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how did it come together? Like, I ask improvisation of musicians, like, who goes first?
It depends. With Ghost Story, I went first. But it varies from song to song.
It seems like she was the big fire starter, right? She's touchy after the gig. She let's do the song right. Here's the ghost stories. Okay.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally true. So after that first meeting, Elia went back home on the subway and she wrote the first verse and sent it to me. And then I was like, oh shit, I gotta step up to this. So I wrote the next verse and I sent it back to her.
Yeah, we so we're using like forth. Phone voice memo. So yeah.
But no music, it's just lyrics.
Yeah,
LeBron
no,
stuff,
music.
Right?
Music too. Yeah. So I write the first verse and chorus and I record it just my vocal and ukulele and I send a voice memo to Jeff. And so he then a couple of days later sends me a voice memo with the next verse and chorus, and I was like, "Oh, this is like the most exciting pen pal I've ever had."
Yeah.
So, you guys meet and put these things together, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah, we met.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, we put them together, and then we were off and running. We like that initial list. We wrote all the songs on that initial list, which were like a living woman who's in love with a ghost.
Two people steal a car.
Do titles come first?
Mm-mm.
No.
They do with me, because I can't hold any focus. And hardly anybody I ask does it that way. I'm fucking weird.
We have, ideas that come first sometimes.
I got to tell you, we're at the end of the second hour, May 25, 2022, edition What Peter, some special guests, Charm and Disaster. We'll hear more about this evolution story, their band. Hold tight, 5-3. May 25, 2022, it's the third hour. What for Pedro Show.
Silvery white in color, blackening in the air. The metal rusts as soon as it's forged. Powder is unremarkable as commonplace table salt, but throw it over your shoulder and it's transformed. Is it the burning bush of Moses, how the fires don't go out, or that old perpetual motion that we've dreamed so long about? And the glowing tubes of glass look like enchanted fairy lights. Suspended in the darkness, they are gleaming in the night. What have we done?
We've set the motion.
We're flying to
a chain reaction.
Close to the sky.
Natural progression.
Out of control.
The power of the
what have we done?
We've set the motion.
We're flying to
a chain reaction.
Close to the sky.
Natural progression.
Out of control.
The power of the
the genie is out of the bottle. Was a fever to boil its own weight in ice? It's the alpha and omega and gamma and beta. Passes through matter with x-ray eyes. It was a god in ancient Egypt when the pyramids did rise. By the light of that eternal burning disc up in the sky, then the chariot descended to the darkness underground. A golden horse-drawn carriage was too heavy to slow down.
What have we done?
We've set in motion.
We're flying.
A chain reaction.
Close to the sky.
Natural progression.
Out of control.
there's no mistaking alchemical transmutation, continual cycle of death and rebirth. Chemistry of the invisible, hidden in mineral, scattered like glittering stars in the earth. You're chasing down the vision, though the nights are dark and long. You can hear it calling in the Geiger counter song, and the crucible is glowing as it burns away your fears. The great work that you undertake lasts 1600 years.
What have you done?
You set in motion.
We're flying.
A chain reaction.
Close to the sky.
Natural progression.
Out of control.
The power of the
sun. What have we done?
You set in motion.
We're flying.
A chain reaction.
Close to the sky.
Natural progression.
Out of control.
The power of the sun.
Never do progress. No matter.
and sister from under the earth. You send up your gifts, unloosed from the mouth of a half-buried jar. Mysterious ills, omens and signals all over the city, all over the world. Invisible lightning, a furious wind, a rain of dead birds. Our Lady of Radium, light up the dark. Save us from secrets you have unlocked. Our Lady of Radium, light up the dark.
Pedro show start off the third hour with Charm and Disaster doing Power of the Sun. Then Crane with the edit of his funky drone. And then Pauline Oliveros and Reynolds with side B of half a Dove in New York, Half a Dove in Buenos Aires. I think they're Argentina band. And then finally, Charm and Disaster with Our Lady of Radium. Now, you said the ghost story. Is this the first version that you recorded that I played?
Like the, we made a home recording before that. What you played is like the album recording, but we made a home recording before that that we made a little video for, that was good that we did that because Welcome to Night Vale found it that way.
Well, tell me about this album you got.
The latest album.
Yeah.
The latest album is called Our Lady of Radium, and it's a concept album inspired by the life and work of scientist Marie Curie. She discovered radium. Her life was filled with drama, scandal, romance, tragedy, all the ingredients for a lot of, like, deep digging with a lot of cool material to work with.
Yeah, and we usually write story songs, and we wanted a larger subject to write many songs about someone's story. Basically.
And did you make demos for it, or did you just do it as it came?
It was actually a really long process. We did an artist residency, which is where we wrote most of those songs, and we made demos when we wrote the songs, which was all in the space of, 2 weeks.
And where did you record?
Sorry?
Where did you record?
We recorded the album at my parents' house during the pandemic with 2 microphones, doing everything ourselves and playing all the instruments ourselves.
Oh, and self-produced.
Yeah. We did work with, we have a longtime collaborator, recording engineer, Don Godwin, and he mixed it with us. So we had Don kind of sweeten up what we had.
Thank God.
But we self-produced and we used all the materials we had to hand. We had planned to go into a pro studio with other musicians, but it was 2020 and we couldn't do that.
Yeah. So we used pots and pans. We used the piano that Elliot took piano lessons on, was there at her folks' house.
We borrowed Jeff's brother's drum kit.
Yeah. Borrowed my brother's drum kit.
And we bought 2 kind of nice microphones and we had to we only have 2 inputs on our interface. And we only had these 2 microphones, and so we just layered everything with 2 microphones, including the drums, which was pretty interesting.
You know, but by limiting, the options, maybe it brings more focus.
Yeah.
On the big C word content. You know, it seems to be, we're caught up, we as a people, involved in the arts. Yeah, the gear. You just got to have the right gear. And you know what? Sometimes I wonder, for example, a pocket knife. Where is the art in that pocket knife? It's what's going to be carved, right? Or it could be, I collect pocket knives or some shit. You know what I'm trying to say? I think it's beautiful. I would have never guessed that's how you guys did this record.
Thanks.
It was
Frank Morgan in The Wizard of Oz, right? Pay no attention to that man.
Yeah.
He was the man behind the curtain.
Picture us in my parents' den, with blankets on broomsticks in the corners to kind of deal with the room reverb. It was very.
I could tell you a little living room, parents' living room story. Uh-huh. Rudy Van Gelder, right? Recorded all those jazz guys. His first studio was his parents' living room.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's so cool.
How was you, Jeff? Just shows to go you, right? Rains lemons, you become the lemonade maker, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing to me, especially, is that, that's now kind of become part of our, recording palette. We've done some more recordings since the new album, and we recorded a lot of the tracks in that same setup and then brought those tracks into the studio and recorded more tracks in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you, great studio in Brooklyn I recorded at. Studio G, Tony Mamone, Joel Hamilton. Yeah, great cast. I want to play Forces of Nature.
Nature, nature.
visit the lab in the night. You slip your hand into mine.
We're bathed in a fairy blue light. We opened a door that no others could find.
A theory is just a design. Scribble a chalk in our minds. Now we have brought it to life. Shining bright future for all humankind.
Rest of our days, dear.
my shoulder, voice like ice, cold, cold running water.
Eyes made by black magic marker.
Little blackbird, help me find my way,
for I fear this might be the end of my day. Clever as Foxy, running beside me, teeth like a trap, trap snap shut behind me. Flash your fine smile, so wicked and wily. Clever as Foxy, I'll stay well away, for I fear this might be the end of my day.
Little blackbird, I'm so lost and hungry. Dogs closing in, they track me and hunt me.
Take to the sky, lead me to safe country.
Little blackbird, won't you help me escape?
For I fear this might be the end of my days. See that black specter high over the trees. Nasty hawk harrier harrying me. Try as I might, it gives me no peace. See that black specter wheel over this way. Oh, I fear this might be the end of my days. No matter how I try, despite my good intentions, my nature decides I can't fight the animal. Clever as Foxy, so far from your den. Are you as innocent as you pretend? My enemy's enemy might be my friend. Clever as Foxy, protect me, I pray, for I fear this might be the end of my day.
I once was a prince with castles and farmland. I love me a lovely, a beauty and charm, and
the wife of a jealous, cruel sorcerer husband.
I once was a prince with most refined taste,
and I fear this might be the end of my days. Foxy, oh Foxy, I'm not what I see. You knew me once as a sorcerer's queen. It's spoken like shadow.
I fear this might be the end of my days.
Darling Red Foxy, there's no future for us. I'm doomed in the sky as you are in the forest. I'll perch by your ear and sing our sad story. Darling Red Foxy, I won't fly away,
for I fear this might be the end of my days. I fear this might be the end of my days. I fear this might be the end of my days. I fear this might be the end of my days.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Charming Disaster with Forces of Nature, Mountain Offensive with Manic Lucidity, and finally, Charming Disaster with Little Black Bird. Little Black Bird, is that part of the new thing?
No,
that's from our second album.
Okay.
The second album is called Cautionary Tales, and there's a lot of, like, I think of it as, like, our Led Zeppelin 3.
It's our folktale-y.
Okay, and what about Forces of Nature?
That's off the new record, okay. Yes.
And then we did play Our Lady of Radium.
That's right.
And Power of the Sun is off the new record, too.
Ah, okay, okay. So, and like it's like what I've done three of these big pieces, and I call them operas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it's too much for one song, so it's a one song with big parts.
Yeah.
And one thing that we did on this record, which we'd never done before, because of that, is each song on the new record either borrows from or lends to another song, like. Parts.
Yeah, so we'll take like the chorus of one song will be threaded in into the background of another song.
So that they all kind of exist at the same time, like, you know, their memories or premonitions or dreams, like, of the other songs.
Echoes.
Happening.
Mm-hmm. Echoes. Yeah.
Resonances, yeah. Sort of the nature stuff she was investigating.
Yeah, and like her romance with Pierre, who was her husband and her partner in science and her collaborator. And so we have a song where it's the beginning of their relationship, and we have a song where he has just died and it's her grief. And each one of those songs echoes in the other as like a memory or a premonition.
Wow. Portent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's got a lot of hills and valleys, huh? You know, sometimes, it's not Hollywood, right? They don't always have to have a happy ending.
That's right.
Yeah.
My first opera it was killing me. I couldn't do it after four tours because it was just too sad of a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, beautiful that you're doing it. So you said you're recording stuff now. Now, is this going to be a collection of songs or is it going to be a big story?
It's a collection of songs. It's going to be an album like our previous album.
Yeah, like a regular album.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they could, you know, there was one album, I think, Monty Python, right? If you put the needle on one of the sides, there was actually two sides embedded.
You know, Jack White does a lot of stuff like that, too.
Yeah, his place, they do a lot of cool stuff.
With the master, vinyl. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to do that with CD. I guess, but the CD, you can make the hidden track.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, exploring the medium and stuff like that. And, and have you seen your process evolve from that first Ghost Story collab?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Very much.
You know, what started as, like, a back-and-forth, like, kind of pen pal style, it's kind of developed now. It's more of, like, a side-by-side. We'll sit together, and one person will have, like, the idea of, or the beginning of an idea of something, and we'll sit and kind of work in real time, side by side, like that.
Yeah, we were actually just working on a brand new song before we started talking to you, and we have, like the laptop open, and we've got, like, a lot of lyrics that are just kind of ideas for lyrics, and we've got some stuff on its feet, but we're very much, like, in the messy part together, which is a neat thing to be
with our instruments.
Yeah, with your instruments.
And where can people find you on the internet?
CharmingDisaster.com will get you to all the places. We're on Instagram. We're Charming Disaster Band. We're on Bandcamp.
Well, I love the idea that you have your own website because it's like having your own fanzine. And so they can go to all those commercial things, right?
That's right.
I look at them as telephone poles to staple your flyers up on.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay. But there's no filter with your own website. That's why I really dig that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can find all the other things through it.
Right. CharmingDisaster.com, people. And what about tour plans?
Yeah, we're going on tour in June. We're going to be in New England, June 10, 11, 12. And then we're going to be in Pennsylvania on the 15th, 17th, and the Hudson Valley on the 18th. And we've got more in store for the summer and fall, but we're kind of working on that still.
A little New England run. Okay.
Yeah.
And people, you can get info that at charmingdisaster.com, but the info's on those gigs and stuff. And then You don't have a release date in mind. What do you think of the spring?
Probably the spring.
Yeah, probably the spring.
For the next one. But this one just came out in March, so we're not in like a big rush.
And when you tour,
yeah,
is it just you two, or do you bring side mice?
Just us two
in a station wagon with all of us.
John Coltrane used to tour in a station wagon. He liked that Chrysler ones, but he did do a Mercury to L.A.
Just the two of us. And so we have to do all the percussion ourselves. So Jeff plays a kick drum made out of a suitcase, and I play a hi-hat, and it's like a one-man band.
You piece it out.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, when you get this new record, please come back on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. We would be honored. It's been so much fun talking with you.
Thank you so much. Very kind. We keep on keeping on, right? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's inspiring.
People, it's May 25, 2022 edition of What Pedro Show Keep You Power Drive.